King tides grabbed the headlines last year as we watched our shores battered by rising seas and unusually high tides. So what's in store for us this summer? This morning we talked with Dolan Ebersole, a coastal geologist with the University of Hawaii's Sea Grant College, about managing our coastal resources as we face rising, warming waters.
Last summer we saw water levels that were on the order of almost a foot higher than they should have been. And the important message there is that was a glimpse of our future. When we see the elevated water levels, that's what the future might look like in, 20 to 30 years. A foot of water level made a huge difference. Actually, what we learned was it only takes about 6 or 8 inches of increased water to really start to notice a difference on the shorelines throughout the state, with increased erosion, coastal inundation of low-lying areas, and things like that. So the first thing to note that's different this year is that we have close to normal water levels, which is good. So we don't see the increased erosion and things like that due to the seasonal anomaly. However, we still are experiencing around the state chronic erosion, which is a longstanding problem. And in some cases, it's a natural phenomena. In other cases, it's a product of human intervention, where we've interfered with sediment flow, seawalls, and things like that, that in some cases can have a damaging effect in the shoreline. The good news is we have a very good understanding of what these processes look like, and we're able to quantify what the rates of erosion are around the state. And this is done primarily through a research effort at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. And what we're able to do is map historical shoreline positions using aerial photography, historical aerial photography, and that gives us a snapshot of where the shoreline was. And we can go through time and progressively map the sequence of the shoreline position. And in the end, we come up with an erosion rate, an annual erosion rate. And that type of data is extremely helpful for people like myself that are responsible to help manage the shoreline and coastlines. And in the case of Kauai and Maui, they're actually using this data, the historical shoreline change data, for their coastal construction setbacks. So how close you can build to the shoreline is actually a function of your erosion rate. So it's a formula that's used. In Oahu and Hawaii Island, it is just a preset distance. On Oahu, it's 40 feet from the shoreline. But it's encouraging to see the use of this type of data in what we call a variable coastal setback, so that the faster your shoreline is eroding, the further back you have to set your new development. Now, the important thing here is, of course, those type of laws and policies only apply to new development, not existing development. So many of the older structures, we look at a place like Waikiki, where there's lots of high density urban development right on to the shoreline. Those were built prior to these laws being established.
Right, but there is focus on how do we deal with this, with the rising waters and protecting the infrastructure and the buildings that are there.
That's right. I'm very encouraged to see what's been happening statewide through legislation and through policies at the county level. In the last 5 years, there's been a huge transition into awareness of climate change. The science has really been helpful in making these legislative decisions to enact new laws. Whereas maybe prior to 5 years ago, there was still a lot of discussion about, well, climate change science is uncertain. We're not really sure if we want to, take proactive measures just yet. Let's see what the science tells us. Whereas now, I think the science is overwhelming and the political environment has changed to where it's a sense of now we need to do something. And the science is telling us that things are changing, and they're changing quickly, and the predictions in the future, when we look at things like sea level rise, are telling us that this problem will continue to accelerate, and the rate of change is increasing with time. Therefore, we need to take more proactive measures. And a couple of things that have happened just in the last couple of years that are very encouraging is the state of Hawaii has adopted legislation that requires the state develop a climate change adaptation plan. The first component of this plan, I should back up and say we'll be one of about a dozen states in the nation that are actively working on a climate adaptation plan. So we're not alone, but we're kind of at the forefront of developing climate adaptation plans nationwide. So that's a very encouraging thing. And the first component of this climate adaptation plan is to, in fact, do a sea level rise risk and vulnerability assessment statewide. That portion of the climate adaptation plan is complete, and anybody interested in this issue can simply Google Hawaii Sea Level Rise Viewer, or you can go to the Hawaii Climate Change Portal, and you can access the full report. What most people would probably be most interested in is the viewer, which is a Google Maps interface viewer that shows you what different incremental changes in sea level rise will look like statewide. You can zoom into communities and turn on and off various layers. Now, the important thing about this viewer is it looks at sea level rise, it looks at sea level plus erosion, and sea level plus seasonal high surf. So it's not just a static, what we call a bathtub model, which doesn't account for erosion or waves. In this model, it actually is more of a dynamic model that accounts for these various processes combined with sea level. So it is a future look at what sea level rise could look like statewide. And it's a very important piece of information for decision makers and planners to use on deciding where future development may or may not occur. And if we are serious about adaptation to sea level rise, what kind of measures should we be taking to adapt to things like sea level rise that might be on the order of about 3 feet, at least 3 feet by the end of this century. So that's some of the things that are coming out of this legislation are enactment of sea level rise planning benchmarks. Right now, there isn't an adopted standard for what do we plan for and by when, but that is forthcoming, and there's active discussions going on right now through new climate change commissions that have just recently been set up. And they have written up draft language for consideration by both the city and the state, the city and county of Honolulu and the state of Hawaii to consider enacting requirements that we plan for certain levels of sea level rise in the future.
So if you own property or live along the coast, that report that you mentioned would be important to look at. But there's also a lot of focus on our economic engine, which is in Waikiki, and you're involved in a project there. What can you share at this point about the snapshot in Waikiki?
Yeah, Waikiki is a really important component of our economy, our culture, our recreation. Waikiki offers so much to both residents and the visitors. I think most people will agree that the beaches in Waikiki are an essential component to the economy, and therefore Waikiki distinguishes itself as a little different than many of the other coastal environments around the state. And I'd like to point that out because, one, it's important to recognize that Waikiki is completely man-made. There really isn't a natural segment of shoreline left in Waikiki. We've either altered it with structures or filled it with sand pretty much continuously between Diamond Head and Pearl Harbor. So it's an urban environment, and I would classify Waikiki as an urban beach. So if we accept that it is a little different, it's an urban environment that's heavily altered already, and in some places entirely engineered, then maybe taking more natural approaches like what we refer to as managed retreat, where we slowly step back away from the coast, is perhaps a good long-term option for a place like Waikiki, but really isn't going to benefit us immediately because they're very difficult to achieve these retreat strategies. So instead, We're focusing, at least for in the short term, on engineering solutions and alternatives to help stabilize Waikiki Beach. If the goal is to maintain a sandy beach in Waikiki, then the focus should be to take a critical look at the structures and features in Waikiki that serve to define Waikiki as we know it, and try to attempt to do an assessment of the stability of these structures. I can share one example is the Royal Hawaiian Groin, which directly fronts the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. It serves as a really critical terminal groin, which is, you could think of it like a dam. And this vertical concrete wall literally holds together Waikiki Beach as we know it. Unfortunately, that structure is about 90 years old, and it's starting to show signs of its age. It's bowing and cracking, and the engineers are telling us they're afraid that it could fail at any point. There's not much holding it together. So there's an effort to replace this structure with a new feature that would function in a very similar way, but be composed potentially of a different type of material, rocks, stacked rocks, rather than a vertical concrete wall.
And that Royal Hawaiian Groin project is about a year and a half to 2 years out. But Dylan Ebersole is encouraged that for the first time, Hawaii is incorporating sea level rise into its engineering design. Ebersole has been tapped to act as the manager for the Waikiki Beach Erosion Project. For more information and links about this issue, visit our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.